Hello, Connie.
Hi.
You
Hi,
ca- you ca- you called?
Yes.
You did. I was sort of looking at the time and going, "Hey." But perhaps you're just waiting for me to finish my open. I just want to mention to
I
everybody
want to
here.
hear what you have to say.
Well, we're going to do that. Connie is a patient of mine. For the sake of full disclosure, and Connie has actually been working with me for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
How long has it been now?
Oh gosh, Paul, don't make me count the years.
Okay, all right, so we won't do that. But I asked Connie to call because we often, when Connie comes in and for her appointments, we often get into some really very interesting discussions about, well, I guess I should say the realizations. You know, as both her and I have rediscovered better health, right?
Right.
And those realizations are some of the things that I think are so essential for people to, well, wake up,
yeah.
Right? I mean, how did you come to get tested in the first place with nutrition response testing? What were you suffering from?
Mostly, I think I was experiencing a lot of. I mean, energy, low, really low energy. And, you know, my energy would just suddenly drop. I mean, even when I had had plenty of sleep, I would have these days where I just had no energy at all. I thought, well, you're getting older. But because you were treating me for, you know, you were also treating me for, I was premenopausal and menopausal, so you were seeing me for that. And when we first talked about the energy and you tested me, one of the things that was just absolutely amazing for me was to discover how much the foods that I was eating a lot of, actually. had an effect, you know.
Like what?
Thinking,
like what?
Like, well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I think this is so ironic. You know, you were saying we eat our way into our problems.
Yes, I do that often.
Yes, and I was premenopausal. I had heard that soy was good for you, you know, for menopausal for women, and so I was having a soy latte every day. I mean, I would not have a latte without soy. I mean, and I was adding soy into my diet in other ways.
And why? Why were you doing? What was encouraging you?
Well, because that's what I'd heard. I mean, I'd kind of seen it. I've seen it, you know, in the news. I'd seen it everywhere, you know.
What's the message? I mean, what's the news message? What were you hearing exactly?
Well, I think I was hearing that the healthy, natural way to support your progress through and to reduce menopausal symptoms is to add soy into your diet.
Exactly. Instead
of taking medication, I didn't want to take, you know, I didn't want to take prescription drugs. I wanted to do everything really natural. And this is where I think the irony is, because actually that soy was completely undermining
I'm only laughing because it's like so much of what we have to discover. You know, I mean, the things that they say, it's the kind of the they say syndrome,
yeah.
You know, that we get into. And unfortunately, even practitioners like myself back at a certain time, mm-hmm. fall into accepting the they say, mentality. And when you finally discover, you know, when you have a way to evaluate with laser-like accuracy, you know, and of course it's, you know, with the nutrition response testing is what I'm getting at, and using muscle testing, and although muscle testing is poo-pooed and there's all kinds of quackery and this kind of thing, the bottom line is when you get that kind of pushback, you know you're on the right track.
Well, yes, you know, the thing is, it has really worked for me. I mean, one of the things that, as you know, I'm such a backslider. It's not that I deliberately go out and eat soy. I mean, and there's plenty of other things that you discovered that I personally found out that I was sensitive to.
Like what?
Well, like corn.
Yes.
You know, eating anything. You were talking earlier about, you know, making sure that you don't that you avoid processed foods as much as possible. Well, I'm very, I discovered that I am really, really sensitive to corn syrup in particular.
And so is, you know, so is everybody else on the planet, actually.
Well, right. I mean, we know that now, but the fact is this is a while back and I wasn't paying attention to anything like that. And the fact is there were lots of things that I was eating that had corn in them.
And the interesting, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And I wanted to say that in addition to the energy problems that I had, the other thing that I had, and you'll remember this, was I would have these mysterious aches and pains.
Yeah, that floated about the body in various places. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And what I noticed was some days I would feel them, you know, I would feel them more. And what I discovered over time working with you was that I would feel those aches and pains when I had eaten something that wasn't good for me.
Interesting.
I started to be able to see that, you know.
Awareness.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing. It's like, you know, in order to take and hasn't that enabled you to take better control of your health?
Absolutely.
Which is what I talk about, right? Take control of your health.
I know when I have eaten something that's not right, and when I clear my system, I feel better.
Aha.
And, you know, now I don't always know. I'll come in and see you, and sometimes you'll discover that there's something going on, you know, that I wasn't aware of, you know, like the ubiquitous soy, getting back to that, because as we know, soy is not just in food.
No, as it turns out, soy isn't just about everything, and people don't know that. This is another awareness deal, right? Soy is in your cosmetics.
Yeah.
The stuff you put on your lips, the stuff you put on your face, the stuff you put in your hair, the stuff you put on your body.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter whether you put it in your mouth or on your body. The effect will be the same with respect to your autonomic nervous system.
Right.
And so it will impact it negatively either way.
Right.
Right. And the I think probably the news flash for all of us is that if you're not doing well, if you're experiencing symptoms, including your cholesterol, which is rising, and you didn't have that particular problem, though you had a long history of pancreatic issues, though.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. And that is, you know, if you're experiencing a symptom, no matter what it is, you're missing key information when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you got to find it. You know, you've got to find that key information, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And the blood test won't do it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, I think, personally, when I come and see you and you do the muscle testing, it is amazing to me. I mean, now that I understand how it works, I can feel it when I'm away from you. I can feel when my system is shifting.
Wow.
When it's, you know.
Yeah, that's come along. That's come a long way.
Yeah, that did take a while, but working with you, I became more sensitive to it. And sometimes I don't want to believe that that's what's happening, but you know, but it always turns out that way. I mean,
we don't want to. We turn our backs on ourselves.
Right, we just don't.
You know, we just ignore it because it doesn't suit our, you know, our particular agenda, and that's what happens to us, right? I mean, when we ignore the simple symptoms. Right. And we also buy into the medicalization issue where, you know, we really believe that although you're not inclined to, and I wasn't either, but that most people believe that the drugs are the answer, you know, prescription pharmaceuticals are the answer, because that's also a huge, heavy push. Right. Right, Connie? Hello. Hey, did we lose her? Uh-oh. Connie, could it be maybe your cell phone? You want to give us a call back? Just give us a call back. I think we lost Connie there for a moment, but hopefully she'll call back. So what really happens is that we are buying into this whole phenom of the media hype, and unfortunately, so many people are leading us astray. The myths and disinformation that we're being fed, right, Connie?
Right.
Yeah, the myths and disinformation. We got her back now. The myths and disinformation that we're being fed by the FDA, the pharmaceutical companies, the so many practitioners who want to do well, the medical doctors, even alternative practitioners, because they're simply failing to open their eyes to something as, you know, out of the box as the muscle testing and nutrition response testing, right?
Right, right. Well, it has, you know, as I've learned more about my autonomic nervous system and how important it is, I am just absolutely amazed.
Wait, was the evaluation painful for you, Connie?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's really, really simple. And, you know, I have, initially, I didn't always believe you. It was like, I can't believe
you. You and most everybody else. Well, actually, me included.
And I would say, do it again. You know, I would say, do it again. I want to be sure. I want to feel it because part of the process is you feeling it yourself.
Exactly.
Realizing when it's weak and when it's strong. And it's like, you'll say, well, you know, here's what I'm sensing. And I'll go, no, I can't believe it. Make me, you know, and I'll make you do it again. And I can feel it. And it's like, okay.
And for those of
my body is telling me something.
For the listeners out there, what we're talking about is actually the method of the muscle testing, and you know, without getting into too much detail, we're simply testing a muscle for strength or weakness, which is connected to your autonomic nervous system. It's that thing that you may have heard the phrases fight or flight and relaxation response. And those are the two regulators to the autonomic nervous system. And so if you're experiencing symptoms, all you're experiencing is that mechanism, those two regulators, imbalanced, gone astray, run amok. And all we have to do is figure out why. And this is true for even the most complicated of conditions and diseases, although there is a point at which someone goes beyond, you know, certainly my ability or our ability, nutrition's ability to restore their health. We call that medical wreckage. And that's, you know, by the time you're doing, you know, by the time you're doing organ transplants, you know, you're simply, it's not going to work anymore, unfortunately. But you didn't wait that long, fortunately, right, Connie?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
Except for your hip.
Well, except for my hip.
I just remembered that.
And that was a long-standing condition.
Right. That was a long-standing condition, which, although you worked very hard at trying to, you know, get to, we really didn't get there in time with the nutrition, really.
Right. And, you know, and I think part of the issue was that I didn't really see what was happening with my hip as part of the picture.
Exactly. And then when I pointed that out.
You tried to tell me.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I was paying attention to it as much. And so... You know, that's what happens.
Well, that's what happens. And that's, I mean, you know, fortunately for us, that's where I still call that trauma care. That's sort of long-term trauma care. Mm-hmm. And no one does it better than Western medicine with respect to trauma care.
That's right.
And so that's all cool. But we're talking about chronic functional illness, which is essentially the overwhelming majority of what people experience with respect to their health going downhill.
Right, and believe me, I pay attention to the condition of my joints now. I mean, you know, I have one titanium hip. I have the other one, which is mine, my real hip, and I watch and pay attention to it every day.
Yeah,
and whenever I feel anything in it, I'm going, okay, what's my state? You know, what have I been up to?
What did you eat?
Yeah. Right. Really. Oh, I think about it a lot now.
Would you hold, Connie?